Breakfast with Aaron and Helen, 5 to 9 weekdays on Hope 103.2.
There needs to be a safety warning in Sydney this morning. If you look out the window and it's looking blue and clear and lovely today, please do not be fooled. We literally have an Antarctic breeze around this week. It is going to feel a lot colder than it looks.
Lovely, lovely. Just that dry cold as well.
Yep.
So you have to wear lots of moisturiser because your skin dries out.
That's true. Like you need any excuse.
Yeah, that's right.
A couple of little penguin feathers on the breeze I'm waiting for.
And a big iceberg sort of coming up the harbour or something like that.
Yes.
That happens, I think. In New Zealand, don't they have big icebergs sort of break off to sort of hit the island? I think I've seen it on the TV once before.
Really?
And it wasn't a movie. It was real.
Leonardo DiCaprio was there and Kate Winslet was too. It was amazing.
And then Celine Dion started singing. It was like,
so I changed the channel. I don't know if you caught this story in the news. What a ripper. There was a Canadian hockey player driving along with his wife in the car in the pouring rain. Saw two people on the side of the road trying to get a lift. They'd been caught by the storm. And he had pity on them. His wife was apparently feeling a little bit more like, please don't pick up these weirdos. We don't know who they are. But he won that argument, pulled over. No complaints from his wife after that. It was Bono from U2. It was Bono and his assistant. They'd gone out for a stroll while they were touring through Canada and got caught in the rain.
Oops. But that's pretty cool. I wonder if they got an autograph at least.
I think they got some really good photos.
Yeah.
And some pretty great tickets to the next U2 gig in town too. True story.
I would just hope that in the backseat there wasn't a whole bunch of wrappers and mess and stuff. Just a little embarrassed, like there usually is in the back of my car.
Don't mind those empty cups and burger papers.
Oh, and that's just where my daughter threw up on the seat. Yeah. Just sit around that. Yeah, put my jumper over that one.
More than 5 coffees a day, some research has been done, particularly if you combine that with a high-stress lifestyle, has been found to make you more likely to hallucinate. 5 coffees a day is the magic number, apparently. They did a study and split a bunch of people up into their groups and played white noise, you know, that
lovely,
delightful sound. And they said, tell us when you can hear Bing Crosby's White Christmas played in the midst of the white noise.
Wow.
It was never played. But the people who'd had more than 5 coffees a day and had high-stress lifestyles were 3 times more likely to report hearing the song.
How many coffees have you had today, Helen? And how many shots? How many shots? Don't give me the how many cups.
Well, I mean, it's all I'll have in a day. I won't have any more after this.
Yeah. How many have you had?
It's 5.
You've had 5 already?
I have.
Really?
Yes. I'm not commenting.
Can you hear anything?
I'm not commenting.
What can you hear? Are you able to hear anything at the moment?
I'm pretty sure I can just hear the white noise, Aaron.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
You're really, really sure? Yeah.
We all saw the Jetsons. We saw what the future would be like. So now we're here. Where are our flying cars and space houses, huh? One man getting us very close indeed to the sci-fi predictions is on the phone from New Zealand this morning. He's been awarded one of Time Magazine's 50 Best Inventions of 2010, no less. Glenn Martin, can you please tell us what exactly you've created?
Yeah, well, Helen, it's basically a jetpack. It's a thing that you strap onto your back and you fly around just like we've, you know, been promised for over 80 years, actually. So it's a little bit technically difficult. It took me a wee while to figure out how to do it. There have been the odd jetpack around before, but most of them, all of them, in fact, none of them could fly any longer than about 26 seconds. So, and I know there was an Australian who tried to fly across the Sydney Harbour and got about a third of the way, I think, before he ran out of fuel.
But, oh, no!
You know, obviously our thing can fly for half an hour and, you know, do about 50 kilometres. So, in fact, we do have a customer and a shareholder who lives in Mosman, so I can see, and I know what he wants it for, if he wants it for going to work. So.
Just nipping across the harbour.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, fantastic. So how have you succeeded? Where other people have failed? What's the secret of the Martin jetpack?
Well, the secret is I've developed this high-efficiency fan system, and if you look at a more modern jet aircraft, you know, they're basically big fans. I mean, they're giant engines now, and if you look down the throat of them next time you're walking across the tarmac, you'll see they're actually giant fans. And I've sort of copied that technology, but with a few twists and turns that have, you know, it's been a long journey to get there. I mean, I spent 3.5 years doing mathematics, which is far too boring for the radio. But, yeah, the trick is that we turn horsepower into thrust incredibly efficiently. And we do it with a normal sort of engine. So, it's, you know, it's a piston engine, sort of. A lot of people have described it like a jet ski that you know, turns vertically and flies through the sky. And it is very similar to that sort of technology.
All right, so it doesn't generate a lot of heat then, and I guess you don't burn your legs off like
an actual
jet.
It's got a very high bypass ratio. So, basically, you know, 95% of your thrust is just air. That's right, so...
So has there been a human test with it?
Yeah, we've done about 3,500 flights with people in it. And we've been obviously keeping it reasonably quiet, but most of our tests with people in it, I have a teenage son, so if you put that person aside, we've restricted it to no more than about 10 feet until we've got some of our safety systems developed. And I suppose the key one is that it's got sort of an airbag technology in it, what they call a ballistic parachute. So if anything goes wrong, just like an airbag pops out and saves you in a car, this parachute pops out and saves you. And we're busy developing that at the moment. We did our first test of that a couple of weeks ago, flew the jetpack up to 5,000 feet and fired the parachute. But because it was the first test, of course, we put a crash test dummy in it for that. But he didn't complain. He was pretty happy.
Have you had a go yourself?
Oh, of course. You know, I'm the crazy inventor. So, you know, obviously I have to have a go. The first prototype I was too heavy for. So my wife was the test pilot. But, you know, I've got two teenage sons and they fly it. And I think we've had about 60 or 70 people fly it. We've designed this thing to be pretty easy to fly. It's all computerized fly-by-wire technology. So you can literally come in and within a couple of hours of training, you can be off the ground and flying.
And you must have a lot of family support for this. Has your wife not minded you being in the shed for the last 30 years?
I think she's quite delighted that I've been in the shed for the last 30 years. So my wife has been incredibly supportive. Obviously, you couldn't do this without huge family support. And, you know, that's meant, obviously, sacrificing a lot of things when I'm busy putting all the family money into building jetpacks rather than something else. But, you know, it's gone a lot beyond that now. Now we've got a large firm. We've just appointed a new director who's a businessman from Sydney. We've got a, you know, board of directors, and we've got a staff of about 10, and you know, we're getting a huge interest from government and military and search and rescue and fire. So whereas I suppose I originally started off as something because I wanted one personally myself, you know, this thing's turned into, you know, we've got visitors coming from about 3 different countries this month, visiting to look at, you know, different specs, different particular, you know, special forces in the military in Afghanistan and things like that.
So when will there be car yards full of jetpacks?
Yeah, well, I mean, we've got people with them now, but they're sort of, you know, it's sort of reasonably quiet. But I think, you know, within about 18 months, you'll start seeing them out there, mainly probably with military or police or search and rescue or, you know, bushfire people and all those sorts of things. And about another 18 months from there, you'll start seeing people. I think, obviously, our director from Sydney, I think he'll probably be the first one you'll see in Sydney buzzing around the harbour. So we'll have to get permission for him to do that, but he's very keen.
Yeah, but air traffic control talking to you at all about how that's going to work?
Yeah, I mean, we've designed this from the ground up. When I first started, it has to have a place to fit. And in simple terms, in every country we've applied so far, it's been classified as what we would call a microlite. So you can fly it where you can fly microlights, which means you can't at the moment fly over downtown Sydney. But that's going to change in the future. The Americans, NASA and FAA, are working on this thing called Highways in the Sky, which will enable that to happen. But initially, I think it's going to be very much like you use your jet ski or your dirt bike. It'll be out in the country. It'll be a recreational thing for the general public. But the police and the fire and that, of course, can get special permission to use it, you know, where they need to.
So once your jetpack is out there, what are you going to work on next?
Oh, I'm not going to stop. I mean, the jetpack, as somebody once said, you know, it's sort of like where the Wright brothers were in about 1910. You know, it's still going to carry on developing for the rest of my life. And Ford Motor Company hasn't stopped, doing research and development on better and better cars. And that lasted Henry Ford all his life. And then his son, and then the son after that. So, you know, I don't think I will ever stop on the jetpack.
Just remarkable talking to you today. Good on you, and cannot wait to see people flying around Sydney with a jetpack, including myself.
In the next few years, it's here.
Good on you, Glenn. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, guys.
Breakfast with Aaron and Helen, 5 to 9 weekdays on Hope 103.2.